The topic I would like to share with you today is raising a leader. I don't know whether you want to be a leader or not. Or you want your children to be a leader. Maybe a leader in this profession, a profession, or maybe a spiritual leader. But you said, I'm not that kind of person to be a leader. I'm more like a follower. But if you want, maybe I change the question a little bit. Do you want to be a person that makes a difference in your life? So today I'd like to share this message. Exodus 2, 1:25, which is the second chapter of Exodus. Talking about how God raised a leader, or raised a person that makes a difference in his life. So hopefully, some of the principles can be applied to our daily life. The passage here, I think, all of you know and understand it says, the Israelites are under great oppression by the Egyptians at that time. And they pray to God, and God listened to their prayers. And then God raised a leader. His name is Moses. What's the meaning of the word Moses? Draw out from the water. So this chapter 2 talks about how Moses was born and raised as a leader. I'm going to differentiate and separate my passage into 5 principles. The first one is a guardian mother. The second one is God in control. The third one is a human way. The fourth one is character refinement. And the fifth one is the right moment, coming out at the right moment. And my outline is already in your bulletin, so if you want to follow the outline. So let's take a look at the first part, a godly mother. As I mentioned at that time, the King Pharaoh tried to oppress the Israelites and wanted to kill all the babies, the boys. But there's a godly mother. But I asked you to read together chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's go. Now I magnify a leader, Moses got a godly mother. This mother gave birth. She was the wife of man of the tribe of Levi. All she herself was also a Levite. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she saw that it was a fine child, so she hid him for 3 months. And when time was going, maybe the crying or his voice could not be hidden anymore. She could not be hid anymore. So she has to release her. She could not find him no more. So she put it in a quiet basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. So I can see that Moses has a godly mother. She loved his little boy. According to Pharaoh, she's supposed to drown all his children, but she would like to save him. By the time she could not hide him anymore, she followed one way to find a papyrus basket and coat it, and then put it in the river Nile. On one hand, she was brave enough to defy the order of Pharaoh. Also, she was also very faithful. That's all she could do. So she just did not do it. Imagine you are a mother. You have to release your child, your baby, in a basket, which was flowing along the river of the Nile. And along the river of the Nile, anything can happen, right? The crocodile can come and just go. Have a good dinner. So she was a faithful mother. She said, God, that's all I can do. That's all I can do. I also pray for my son, Ethan. We try to provide him with an environment. That's very limited getting to the U.S. We can try our best to raise him, but we have to live him up to the rules. Pray for him always. Everything that happens is there's so many different teachings.
said that in the college, there'll be a lot of hidden voices in this world. How do you protect them? It's difficult. It's just like releasing them into the liberal life. Anything can happen. A crocodile can come and swallow them.
Or we just let them. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is a God in heaven. The second principle I'd like to talk about is God is actually really in control. Can I ask the sister to read that together? Sister.
And he saw the master and on the reed, and the man of the kingdom prayed together. He opened it and saw the baby. And he was crying and changed the outside of him. This is one of the Hebrew babies he said.
You can see a very wonderful scene here that there's an interaction between human assets and God's protection. On one hand, the mother was very faithful. She prayed, she lived it up to the Lord, for the Lord to protect the little baby. At the same time, she was also very clever. She asked her daughter to follow, right? So Anna asked, why did she not ask her son to follow her? Why did she ask her daughter to follow her? On one hand, she may just give birth to a baby. She was fit for a week. It would be very difficult for her to maintain this long journey to follow this baby. And the other thing I think is that if it's just a cute woman following a baby, then it's very easy to allow suspicion, right? But it's just a little daughter, little girl, following a baby. So even when people see that, it's okay. It's not their little daughters, little girls, baby. So they'll be less suspicious. So that mother is not just faithful, godly, but also a with a wife.
Same question.
And you can see that as the basket flow around the reed. Where did it go? It went in the palace. There's so many places around the river. It went in the palace. You can see God is controlled. And also what happened? The baby of all was cooperating. So when the Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket, what happened? At the right moment, he cried. That cry moved her heart. It's just wonderful. It's a beautiful scene. The mother, being very wise, released the daughter, released the boy. But her daughter falling at the same time, God is guiding through all this dangerous place. And finding the way out, arrived at the palace. And then what happens? You know the baby cried at the right moment. And then more importantly, God himself moved the daughter out. So brothers and sisters, we can worry a lot about our children, but one thing we can be sure, God is in control. There's many things we can do as parents. But we live up to the Lord, and God is in control. So let's look at the third principle. So as the Pharaoh's daughter, she's a little lady, she was very moved. And then what happened? Let's ask our brothers to be there. Brothers, say.
Then the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to marry you? Yet go, he answered. So the girl went and got a baby mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take the baby and nurse him for me, and I will bathe you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She made him Moses, and I drew him out of the water.
And the godly mother actually also had a wise daughter. When she saw that the Pharaoh's daughter was taking on the baby, she went out and said, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Of course, it's very natural. I think the Pharaoh's daughter can identify with the basket or also the clothing. It must not be from an Egyptian family. And after all, why would an Egyptian family release baby like that, right? So most likely it would be a Hebrew. So since the newborn baby
than what would happen for a Hebrew mother to nurse his baby. So when the daughter
proposed it, when her daughter proposed it, right away he accepted the proposal. He said, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'll pay you. After this wonderful way, now Pharaoh is paying. You don't have to pay. Pharaoh's paying. Not only under the protection, you know, the daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, was bold enough to defy the order of the father. And actually, she paid for the mother to nurse his own son. How wonderful. You don't have to pay all these things. The Pharaoh paid. And I think this is very important. She took the baby and nursed him for a while. Imagine what happened during this while when she nursed him. It can happen a lot of things. When she was nursing this baby, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's. I don't know when the mother or the sister broke the news to Moses that you are Hebrew, and that we followed Israelites who were under oppression. But somehow in this time, maybe later, Moses got the news that he is not an ordinary Egyptian. He's not a royal prince. He actually was Hebrew by descent. It's very interesting. So God is in control with all this arrangement, going nowhere else but to a palace where you got all the protection. Because all the Egyptians would not dare to defy the order of the Pharaoh, but only his own daughter. She even paid for the growing up of the baby. So the question is, why did God send Moses to the palace? I would say that he wanted Moses to attend university. I call University of UE, University of Egypt, not University of Cairo, University of Egypt. So the third one is the human way. When Moses was sent to the palace, I think it was a wonderful environment, because that is the center of the world at that time, around that time area, with all the knowledge, all the empire, all the skills, all the treasure. So God picked nowhere else but the center of power, the center of knowledge, to do what? To groom this leader, the future leader of Israelite, so that he was well equipped in terms of knowledge, in terms of skills, in terms of all this experience. Nowhere else but the center. So I would say that he's sending this Moses to university. The university is called UE, University of Egypt, where he got the knowledge, he got all the skills. He may also learn Kung Fu, because he was able to fight. You see, later on he was very good in fighting, right? So, not the literature, but also the Kung Fu, the skills, nerve and might. And as a prince, he got the confidence too. And also, he got a will. I think somehow, sometime in his life, his own mother, natural mother, broke his nose to him that you are not an Egyptian, you are an Israelite, and also your fellow Israelites were under oppression. Your birth must mean something to your fellow men, countrymen. So I think these youngsters not only have all the skills equipped, he also has some goal in his life. He got his will too. You know, in this generation, one of the problems is that sometimes we youngsters do not know what's the life goal of ours. If you do not have a definite goal, you do not want to sweat about it, you don't want to strive. It's very important to understand, as a leader, you got to know, why are you here? Why were you brought up in this family, in this church family? Why are you staying in this generation? There got to be something God would like you to do in this your life. So let me challenge the young people here. Do you know what's the goal of your life? Do you have a goal of your life? Do you have a will? Do you have a will to the will of God? You may be sent to the college very soon. You may acquire all the knowledge, all the experience, all the skills, even you may learn Kung Fu. But if you do not have direction, you do not have life goal, all this will not mean much to you. You just live day in and out. It's just a very regular person. Because you don't have that urge to strive to be a person that makes a difference. I think God raised you in a family, in a church family. He must have purpose. And through your lives, God has been protecting you, guiding you, providing for you with all these wonderful things. With your friends, your brothers. You have good college. You have all these things around you. But have you asked yourself, what is God wanting? It's the human way. Alright, may I ask the sister to read that together? Sister, one day. May I ask sisters and brothers, how old was Moses at that time? 40 years old. Oh, he went to college for a long time, you know what? We went to UE for many years. 40 years. And finally he graduated. He said, oh, it's about time. It's okay, because in those days people live long life. 40 years is okay. So he lived 40 years in the palace to attend the University of Egypt. And they said, it's about time. So he came out. Let me ask you, did he just came out just randomly? Or accidentally he see something? Let me ask you. Did he go out with a purpose, or he just accidentally find out, oh, his fellow Egyptian, Israel was killed by Egyptian? Is it by accident? Or was it on purpose? I would say, it's the latter. He said, I have already graduated from UE. I want to do something now. I want to exercise my life goal. I want to exercise what has God given me, all this ability, all the knowledge, all the experience. I want to make a difference. So he went out. Now, why did I say that? It's not just out of nothing. Let me quote you a passage from later. This is from Acts chapter 7, verse 23 to 25. Let the brothers be there. Brothers, please.
When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being executed by an Egyptian, so he went to the palace and condemned him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to represent them, but they did not.
Now this is after Old Testament, the New Testament repeated his story with some commentary. He said, when Moses was 40 years ago, what did he do? He decided. He made up his mind on his will. He decided to visit what? His own people. He know that he is an Israelite. He would like to visit his own people. And then what? Moses thought his own people will realize that God was using him to rescue them. This guy has a plan. He said,
I attend UE for a long time for nothing. No, there's a purpose for my life. God gave us all this knowledge, all this training, even Kung Fu, alright? I need to make something, make a difference. But what's wrong with that? All the intention is good, all the skill is good, but what is that? What's wrong with that? He do it in his own way. So when he find out that some of his fellow Israelites was killed, he murdered the Egyptians. Later on, you'll be trained. You have a lot of skills. You want to make a difference. You want to make a difference of your life. You want to serve mankind. You want to serve God. But one thing that you have to bear in mind, don't do it in your own way. Otherwise, you will have a lot of problems. So God said, hey Moses, you're only 40 years old. I'm going to send you to another university to do graduate school. This university is UW. Not UE anymore. You have enough for your undergraduate to do UE, U of Egypt. But I'm going to send you for another 40 years to another graduate school, and the name is called UW. What is UW? The University of Wilderness. It's just a big contrast. And one day he was the prince, had all this power, all this training, all this attention. On another day, he was thrown into a pit. What a big contrast. Let's see where he went. He went to UW to do what? Not to learn more skills. It's to deepen his character. So brothers and sisters, if you want to make a difference, you want to be a leader, your character must be refined by God. Don't just do your own way. God must finish his work in you. Sometimes it's not the way that you like. It may be a lot of struggles. But that hardship will deepen your character, and that God will use more in a more meaningful way, long-lasting way, for his kingdom's sake. So, let's read that together. Now, okay, so he helped the daughter, the ladies, and for the people, and then helped water the flock. Let's go on and read that. And where's he? So he was in this university of wilderness for 40 years. And by the way, while he was attending graduate school, he got married. You know, a lot of people, when they graduate school, they get married. The same for Moses. He was in this universal wilderness. Just a big contrast. He was a person of attention for a long time. Now he gets, he's nobody. Nobody knows him. And also, he gets all the noise all around, but it's very quiet because the sheep will not talk to him. He has a lot of quiet time to think about lives, to reflect upon lives. Rather than being busy all the time, all these activities, he has got a lot of time to think. And then what? He's humble. He's nobody. In fact, he was too humble later. Just the other way. He was so confident earlier, he can save Israel. Now he's got very humble.
And life in the little days, I tell you, is very tough. It also trains patience. So for 40 years, he attended UW. And after these 80 years of UE and UW training, God asked, you can graduate now. 80 years old! And God called him out at the right time. And it's time for you to save. Let's read it together. During that long period, the leader arriving at the right time. Not your own way, but God's way. So you want to be a person of making a difference, or you want to be a leader, or you want your children to be leaders, or your children to live a meaningful life, yourself needing a godly parent. Because you need to provide them a good environment. At the same time, you have to keep praying for them, because once they go to college, it's very difficult. There's so many different voices bombarding them. Just like wandering in the river Nile. But God is in control. Live up to Him. And after learning all these skills and experience, when you go to college, grab the opportunity to learn skills. Learn all the experience, not all the knowledge. Get ready. Even have a will. But you got to have a purpose of your life. Getting the purpose of life, get equipped, then what? Don't take things in your own hand. Wait upon the Lord. He has something that has to do in your life. He has to refine your character. And character refinement comes with hardship. So sooner or later, you'll face, let me prepare you, you'll prepare a lot of hardship. This is the way God will deepen your character in order to use you. So may never all these young people here, one day you'll be a godly leader, a spiritual leader, a person who will make a difference in people's lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting brothers and sisters worship here together. I especially pray for all the people here, whether they're parents or children. May the parents be godly parents to always providing good teaching, love and care, at the same time, most important, lift their children to you through prayer, and then you'll be in control, raising them in a godly way, and also provide them with all this training, but most important of all, is relying upon you, in understanding what's the purpose of life, how to live a life of making a difference, not by their own might, but through your own will. And in that process, through all the hardship experience, you refine the character. They'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Then, by relying on you, can really make a difference in their life. I lift them up to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.